Well, I appreciate the singing tonight. Amen. Thank God for His blessings on us. We are blessed. I was reading maybe today or yesterday here recently. I've read several things here recently about the persecution of Christians in Iraq, taking children out, cutting their heads off, and running them out of the country. I mean, they're fleeing for their lives. And brethren, I believe it's headed this direction. And boy, we need to take advantage of the opportunity that we have to meet together. There may come a day when we would to God, we'd drive all the way to California to just get together and sing a little bit and be able to preach in freedom one more time. So let's take advantage of it. Amen. Well, amen. I don't know if Brother Barry needs any introduction. Brother Barry Rackley, he is my brother outlaw sometimes. But I love him in spite of that. And I appreciate this man of God. He's the pastor from Rogersville Baptist Temple in Rogersville, Tennessee. Brother Barry, you come and mind the Lord tonight, all right? Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be in the Lord's house tonight. I've already gotten some help, and I mean that. I'm not just saying that. The Lord is trying to let us see the reality that life is going to be full of troubles. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. But on the other hand, we've been seeing through the singing and preaching the sufficiency of our Lord that is superior to our struggles. We can make it because of the empty grave. We can make it because, Brother Tommy, the Lord's already met our greatest need. The greatest need I'd ever have, ever had, or ever will have was my salvation. And the Lord met that need at such a great expense. And how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Amen. I'm glad my spirituality is not attached to the economy. I'm glad my spirituality is not attached to the White House and the political world or the Middle East or the North, South, East, or West or anybody in between. Amen. No matter what's going on in your life, God has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have everything you need to fulfill the will of God and to do so with joy. You have everything God given to you. Thank the Lord that you can finish your course with joy. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good, isn't it? I don't believe that Jesus is coming back after a defeated church. Amen. I don't believe He's coming back after a dried up church. Amen. It may get tough, it may get rough, and no doubt it will. It's on its way. But I believe with all of my heart that there will be a remnant that'd rather die than to deny. There'll be a remnant that'd rather lose their life than to recant their faith. Amen. Not everybody going to church would be in that remnant. I promise you that. If the pressure gets on, there's people even in this building today, sad to say, would probably lay their Bible down, probably sheath their sword, and walk off and leave the will of God and the Lord. But there'll be some that love the Lord more than even life itself. Brother Thompson, I want to be in that number. I want to be in that number. You say, preacher, what will you do in the storm? What will you do when the fire is on? What will you do when the storm's raging? I don't really know, but I know this. What you do prior to the storm has a lot to do with what you do in the storm. The three Hebrew children was faithful to God before the fiery furnace, standing their ground, rather die than to deny, rather burn than to bow. And they found God to be faithful in the fire. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Somebody said the other day that those three Hebrew children, there's no indication that they saw the fourth man in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth man, but it never said anything about the three seeing the fourth man. But he was in there. The evidence was there. Amen. That which had them bound was falling off. Amen. The fire didn't have its, it didn't burn them. The smell of smoke didn't even get on them. Amen. Amen. You may not be able to look around and see the Lord as such in your storm and in your fiery furnace and in your life, but the evidence is there. Peace like a river attendeth my way when sorrows like sea billows roll. Amen. When the world and the flesh and the devil says collapse, you're not going to make it, but yet on the inside there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace which passeth all understanding. That's the Lord in your fire. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Acts, chapter number 7. I'm confident this is the Lord's direction for me tonight to preach in the service. Have a burden on my heart to preach this message tonight and trust that God will speak to us and that God will speak to you and help you tonight. That's my ultimate desire, first and foremost, to glorify the Lord, that He get the glory, but also to see you get the help that God wants you to have and the help that we need, the help that we're going to need in these days. We're going to read the latter end of Stephen's message as he's preaching in chapter number 7, a recorded lengthy message, the longest recorded message in the book of Acts. And Stephen is preaching, and I'll say some more about that in just a moment. But I want to break in on toward the end of his message in verse number 54 and read the latter end of this chapter. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. Let me pause there just for a moment. And to say that when the word "when" shows up in verse 54, that is connecting us to what has just been said. And as you look back through his message that he's preached, he starts out and he preached historically. He preaches a historical message. He deals with Abraham and Moses and Joseph and right on through the patriarchs and right on through. They didn't mind that. Historical preaching don't bother anybody. I mean, you can preach about Abraham and Adam and Eve and Moses and Jeremiah and all of those and the prophets, and that's not really going to offend too many people. And it didn't offend them. But when he comes into verse number 45, business picks up, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. I have the name Jesus highlighted in that verse. Things starts going south when he brings Jesus into the subject. And then he not only is talking about the prophets and the patriarchs, but he also now begins to talk about the parents and their forefathers. But here's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Look at verse 51. Ye stiff-necked. He's not talking about Abraham now. He's got that bony finger stuck in their face. And he's letting them know, I'm telling you that you're just like them. Look at it. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. So he turned his historical preaching into home preaching. He went from past preaching to personal preaching. And they don't like that. Amen. People don't mind you preaching about current events. But just don't preach about personal sin. Just don't deal with personal sin. But that's what Stephen was preaching. And the Bible said when they heard these things, when they heard the preacher get personal. By the way, can I say this? Nobody ever gets right with God over general truth. Nobody will ever get saved as a response of general truth. God has to take the Word of God and get personal with you. Amen. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on Him with their teeth. But, I like that. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down, cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name again that you would enable us and help us. Give us that unction, Lord, that makes preaching powerful, make preaching stick, Lord, in our heart and in our lives. I pray, dear God, that you will move in this place as only you are capable of doing. Dear Lord, if I knew the needs in the service, I am so limited, God, at what I could do. But Lord, you both know and are fully capable and able to meet every need in this service, from the least to the greatest. I pray, dear God, that help will be received. Lord, we do like David in the book of Psalms. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. I pray, dear God, that you will anoint me with power. Not for show, not for reputation, not for my promotion, but for the glory of Jesus, who saved me from a devil's hell and called me to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus. Father, I pray you'll help us now. Help me to get personal with this awaiting congregation. Lord, I need you tonight. Lord, I don't want to preach just to be preaching. I don't want to say just to be saying. Lord, I want you to direct my thoughts. I want you, dear God, to anoint us with that enablement that helps me to read the mail for the people seated before me today. Have your way, I pray, and I'll be careful, Lord, to give you the glory. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture tonight. Don't let the familiarity of the Scripture rob us of our attention of it tonight. Because I am not reading a magazine. I'm not reading some sale book, some novel. I'm not reading some man-made written book. I'm reading from God's Word. And though we've heard this passage before and many times, I want to tell you, it can be fresh. It can feed us. It can deal with us where we are tonight. But as I was reading this passage of Scripture some time ago, something leaped off the page at me and caught my attention. And that's what I want to try to deal with, if I may, tonight. But I noticed in verse number 58, the Bible says that they stoned Stephen. Notice that, verse 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And then again in verse number 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Now these stones, ladies and gentlemen, were real. Brother Mullins talking about the reality and the realness of the race and the difficulties that's associated therewith. These were real stones. I wrote down that these were personal stones. These were stones that had Stephen's name on it. They weren't sent just at a random, whoever they were hit, but they were aimed at him. Well, I want to tell you, there's going to be those personal stones that are going to be thrown. I thought about this. They were purposeful as well. They were sent with a purpose. They were thrown with a purpose. I thought also, ladies and gentlemen, they were plentiful. Every way Stephen looked, there were stones and stoners throwing rocks at him. You would have thought him preaching truth and standing for God and living for the Lord that everybody would want to love him. But instead, most of them there wanted him dead. And I believe we may see that in our day, sure as we're alive. They're plentiful. They're also painful. These were also painful. I want to tell you, though Stephen was spiritual, he still was a human being. And you can rest assured that these stones hurt. Those stones were painful when they would hit him. And I want you to know, and you do know that. And we're not preaching anything new tonight. We're preaching where we are. You're not going to go through this life as a Christian without some hurts. And without some pains, and without some opposition, and without some stones being thrown at us. But also they're piling up. No doubt the stones, they just kept piling up around him. You ever look around and you see the problems of life? And you've heard the older people talk about when it rains, it pours. Talking about when one problem comes, seemingly it's followed by another, and another, and yet another. Oh, these were piling up around Stephen. But here's what caught my attention, ladies and gentlemen. That twice it said in verse 58 and 59 that Stephen was stoned. But then in verse number 60, the Bible said, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now wait just a minute. That don't add up to me. When it says that he was stoned, verse number 60 should not have started out that way. Verse number 60 should not have read from a natural perspective, and he kneeled down. He was stoned. It said twice he was stoned. It should not have said that he kneeled down. From a natural perspective, it should have said he was knocked down. But it didn't say that. It said that he kneeled down. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Knocked down or kneeled down. The devil will convince you that there's only one option. There's only one consequence to the problems of life. And that is to be knocked down. Amen. We've all been there. Come on now. I don't see any halos in the service tonight. Amen. And there's certainly not one on my head. But the devil will convince you, you're going down. This blow is going to take you down. This circumstance is going to take you down. This lick is going to take you down. You're not going to survive this. There's too many against you. The problems are they're heaping up. They're piling up. They're painful. And they're hurting. Oh my. I'm glad that we have the inspired, infallible Word of God. What do we have before us, Brother Jonathan? The Holy Ghost was careful to pin down a real, sure enough illustration of a man that was going through hard times, that was being hit with hard times, and the Holy Spirit lets us see, Brother Steve, that you don't have to be knocked down. There is an alternative. There is an alternative. Instead of being knocked down, kneel down. Oh, I'm looking at some folk in here that from a natural standpoint, the report should have been said about you, knocked down. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I guarantee you if we could pass the microphone around in this service tonight, we could get enough depressing reports that all of us would want to go jump off a bridge of things that's going on in your life. Negative things, hurtful things, disappointing things, things that you didn't want, things that you didn't welcome. You didn't look for it. You didn't ask for it. All of a sudden you're standing there and the stones has got your name on it. The stones are being thrown at you, and they're hitting you, and you're the one being hurt. Oh yeah. Naturally, from a natural standpoint, some of you in this building have been through stuff already in your life that really you should have been out. But just take a moment, if you would, and just kindly look in the person who's sitting in your seat. Amen. You say, what is that for? That's just to let you know that you're still here. You still got a Bible in your hand. You're still coming to Jubilee. You're still in the work of God. Amen. You're still going on for God. The devil said, I'm going to throw this at you. I'm going to knock you out. You're going down for the count. But you're still here, Brother Taylor. You're still here, Brother Jarvis. You're still here, Brother Wampler. You're still here. You're still in the work. You're still in the war. You're still in the way. Hallelujah, that's right. It's easy to be knocked down. Are you listening? God help us. You may not choose. You may not choose your circumstance. But you do always choose your condition. You may not choose who's throwing them and what they're throwing. And what they're saying and what they're doing. You may not choose the phone calls with the bad reports. You may not choose those things, but you do choose your condition. If you walk away, that's a choice. If you lay the Bible down, that's a choice. If you lay out a church, that's a choice. Amen. I believe God's wanting to help us tonight to learn to deal with spiritually, the hardships and adversities and problems, pressures that come in our way. Let me give you these quotes. I got these sent to me last week. Or I took them personally. The lady in the church sent them to everybody in our church. But I took them personally. In fact, I pulled over and I just had me a worship time when I read the email. D.L. Moody said, if the world has nothing to say against you, Jesus Christ will not have anything to say for you. Reckon that ought to be repeated? If the world has nothing to say against you, Jesus Christ will not have anything to say for you. I believe this tonight, that if we lived more like Christ, the world would probably treat us more like they treated Him. Say amen right there. D.L. Moody also said, the most glorious triumphs of the church have been won in times of persecution. Luke 6:26 says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Psalms 138:7, I like this. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Some of you, every way you look, walk in the midst of trouble. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Me, you're in the middle of it. Every way you turn is trouble. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Trouble didn't stop me from walking. I'm walking in the midst of trouble. Don't let your troubles keep you from walking. Keep walking. Walking in paths of righteousness. Keep walking in the light as God gives you light. Amen. That's right. Oh, yes. Amen. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Hallelujah. Could I compare these just real quickly? Could I compare knock down versus kneel down so you can get a better idea of what we're looking at tonight in our thought? To be knocked down is accidental. To kneel down is intentional. To be knocked down is negative. To be kneeled down is positive. To be knocked down is you choosing to give in and to give up. But you kneeling down is you choosing to go on until you go up. To be knocked down is something expected. To kneel down is what is unexpected. To knock down, it shows you to be a victim. Circumstances win. But for you to kneel down shows that you are a victor and shows that Christ wins. To be knocked down comes from without. But for you to kneel down comes from within. Amen. Amen. for you to be knocked down, it is situational. Amen. But for you to kneel down, it's spiritual. For you to be knocked down, amen, is based on feelings. But you to kneel down is based on faith. For you to be knocked down shows that the stone and the stoners are bigger than you are. But for you to kneel down shows that the Savior is bigger than they are. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Let me preach right there a minute. I'm glad the battle is the Lord's. Did you know that Goliath's size doesn't matter? If Goliath's size matters, then your size matters. So it don't matter how big he is, nor does it matter how small you are. Amen. Amen. That's right. Well, I better get off of that. But listen, to be knocked down shows fleshly weakness. But to kneel down shows spiritual strength. To be knocked down is an element of defeat. But to kneel down is an element of devotion. Oh yeah. I don't want to be knocked down. I know I've got that potential, preacher. I know we all got that potential in here to be knocked down. There's none of us in here strong enough in ourselves to withstand everything that's thrown at us without the armor that God's given us in Ephesians chapter 6 to where we can withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore. No telling what we're going to face in the future politically. No telling what's going to come in our country morally. No telling the direction of our country and the decay and the rot that's coming into our country like a flood. But I've read in the prophets where it said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad. Yes, amen. The Bible said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. No matter what comes in your life, no matter how big it is, no matter how many it is, God is greater. Now, I'm interested tonight on how to kneel down. I don't need any instruction on how to be knocked down. And you don't either. We come into this world with that ability. Amen. In fact, I've been knocked down too many times and not kneeled down near enough times. But I want to be done with the knockdown. And I want to have my life filled with kneel down. Amen. Here's some things that I believe ought to play into that. Number one, just simply to mention the instigation behind kneeling down. What do you mean the instigation behind kneeling down? Simply put, that Stephen was not kneeling down on the altar of wrongdoing. Amen. It's going to be hard now. It's going to be hard. Come on now. Everybody listening? It's going to be hard for you to kneel down when it's your fault. It's going to be hard for you to kneel down when the stones are being thrown at you because you've been caught in lies and you've been caught cheating and you've been caught, my friend, in shady deals and all of that. Amen. Not suffering as a murderer, a busybody in other men's matters. Amen. Stephen was able to kneel down because he could look at every one of those stones and know that they were being thrown because he was right with God. Brother Mullen said it well today. Suffering doesn't indicate you're out of the will of God. It may very well indicate you're in the will of God. I believe that helped. If you know how it all started. Amen. If you're standing for right, it'll help you to kneel down. If you're not standing for right, my Uncle Joe's here, Miss Nancy, I love them dearly. Mentors, examples in my life. I mean that. And my Uncle Joe's always give me advice. And I'll never forget the first time I was going through a hardship in my first church. But I was trying to pastor or pester, I'm not sure, probably a mixture. But my Uncle Joe told me, he knew the situation a little bit, and he told me, he said, Barry, he said, conduct yourself to where you don't have to apologize. And he said this very carefully. I remember it. And that's been many years ago, Uncle Joe, when I was down in Pickens County. He said, stay sweet in your spirit. Stay sweet in your spirit. Behave yourself to where you don't have to ever call somebody up and say, I apologize. And apologize. Amen. Oh, my soul. But the instigation behind kneeling down, verse 54, when they heard these things, he was being stoned for right. He was being stoned for truth. Amen. Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm not going to read all the verses. But he's talking to people that are suffering, because they are followers of that which is good. They're suffering for righteousness' sake, he said. He said, he goes on down in the verse, these people are suffering that have a good conscience. These people are suffering that have been falsely accused. Their good conversation in Christ had been falsely accused. He's writing to people in verse 17 that if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing. Amen? And then he ends that passage with talking about Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Amen? In 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 16, again, I'm not reading it all, just referencing a couple of things. He talked about those that are being partakers of Christ's suffering. He's talking about those in verse 14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. He talked about those in verse number 16. If any man suffer as a Christian, Stephen was able to kneel down because he knew what was instigating the whole situation was right doing. Was it Dr. Bob Jones Sr. made the statement years ago, something about do right if the stars fall? Amen. It's always right to do right. There's a church up the road. The pastor's not there now. Of course, I don't know too much about if he's a pastor, a preacher, or even saved. But he told the people that he pastored at that church before they run his hide in out, which they should have done. He told them that there are times it's okay to lie. And you think that needs to be in the pulpit, leading the people of God, preaching to the people of God? God have mercy. But anyway, the instigation, it'll help you to bow down and to kneel down, Brother Whopper, if you know, as far as you know in your heart, you're right with God. That's what helped Joseph in the book of Genesis deal with Potiphar and the brethren and all the lies and all of that. He knew he was right with God. He knew that he had held high the standard of righteousness. That's what helped Job. Stay right with God through that terrible storm. It's what helped Paul through all of his imprisonments and abandonments and sufferings and trials. He said, brethren, just don't worry about it. I'm paraphrasing. Don't worry about it. He said, all this is just falling out for the furtherance of the gospel. And he wrote that and said that in the first chapter of Philippians, and he was sitting inside of a Roman prison. Yeah. Right doing. That's why I could sing and shout in Acts 16 and praise God at midnight with his back bleeding and his hand and feet in the stocks. He knew he was right with God. He wasn't thrown in jail for wrongdoing. He's thrown in jail for preaching the truth, for standing for right. I think that's worth mentioning. I think that's worth saying. To help you kneel down instead of being knocked down is to make sure that when the stones are thrown, they are thrown at you for righteousness' sake. Number two, quickly write it down. I don't have time to preach on all these, but listen, number two. I see in verse number 55 the inspiration of kneeling down. Oh, yeah. The inspiration of kneeling down. Verse number 54, people was upset with him. But verse 55, evidently God was pleased with him. The Bible said something very important. In fact, it's the key statement in this whole story right here. But he being full of the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, I can't kneel down. It's too rough. I can't kneel down. It's too tough. If I kneel down, everybody will think weakly of me. I want to tell you, friend, the Spirit of God can enable you to do what you cannot do on your own. The inspiration of kneeling down. The Bible said, but he being, that's a key word, he being full of the Holy Ghost. That word being there is in the present tense. It doesn't matter how spiritual you were last year or last month. When the rocks are thrown, how spiritual are you at that moment? He was full of the Holy Spirit before the rocks. He was full of the Holy Spirit during the rocks. And he was full of the Holy Spirit at the end. I'm glad the stones can't beat the Spirit of God out of us. Amen. In fact, the stones only surfaced the Spirit of God that was in him. Amen. Your spirituality is your relationship to the Holy Spirit. And that, in fact, is your survival. You being able to make it and I being able to make it in this hour is not going to depend on me being able to dodge the stones. Be able to counter the stones. Me being able to make it as did Stephen is to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. The inspiration of kneeling down. I'm glad stones do not stop saints. Hallelujah. Amen. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, that's in the present tense. But it's also, come on everybody listening, it's in the active voice. But he being full of the Holy Ghost is in the active voice, meaning the subject is the doer of the action. If you're filled with the Spirit of God or not filled with the Spirit of God, it's your doings. You're saved by grace, but you're not going to be spiritual by grace. That's why we got church full of people that's not spiritual. They want their spirituality to be free, just like their salvation. Your salvation is God's work for you. Your spirituality is your works for God. Say amen right there. Yes, sir. If it's in the active voice, that means Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost because he made the choice to do so. He wanted it. Amen. Salvation, come on. Salvation doesn't come by force. Neither will your spirituality. God's not going to put you in a figure four and put you in a headlock and force spirituality on you. No. Calvary, the cross is a great motive, a great inspiration for salvation, but it is also a great inspiration for spirituality as well. Amen. That's right. Circumstances do not stop your spirituality, but only rather surfaces it. Brings it to the surface. If nothing comes to the surface, that's because there's nothing there. Amen. You know what the Bible said in Proverbs 24:10? It's first come to my mind. You know what that says? If thou faint in a day of adversity, thy strength is small. I got to looking at that, meditating on that one day. If thou faint in a day of adversity, thy strength is small. You don't faint because of the size of the adversity. You faint because of the smallness of your strength. So if you're fainting, my friend, and all of us is capable of that, but if you're fainting in your spiritual life, if you're fainting, it's not because of the bigness of the surrounding circumstances. It is because of the smallness of your spiritual strength on the inside. Listen, the greatest thing you can do when stones are being thrown, ladies and gentlemen, is focus your attention on your spiritual life. Get full of the Holy Ghost, and God will enable you to respond spiritually. Amen. What helps you to kneel down will hinder you from being knocked down. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. I like this right here, and I'll mention this, go on. I'm glad when you're filled with the Spirit of God that it frees you from the effects of the circumstance. You say, preacher, it didn't free Stephen from the effects of the circumstance. Oh, yes, it did. I remind you, Brother Wampler, that Stephen's flesh was the only thing being stoned. Stephen's spirit wasn't being stoned. When Paul and Silas was in jail, my friend, their bodies and their hands and their feet was in the stocks and in the cell, but their spirit was free. Thank God. That's why you need to focus on the inner man. That's why you need to focus on the new man. Why? Because listen, amen, I'll get on that in a minute. But listen, inside of you that are saved is a new man. Created in Christ Jesus. Listen, focus on that. Strengthen, feed, follow the Spirit of God in your life. What's the first thing people do, Brother Robbie, when they go through a storm? Don't read the Bible. Start laying out a Sunday school, missing Wednesday night. Start laying out a church. They don't quit going to work. Most of them don't. They keep going to work, keep punching clock. They don't quit going to Walmart. But they quit going to church. I say, why are you going to work instead of church? They say, well, I've got to go to work. I have to go to work. A lot depends on me going to work. You need to keep going to church with that same mentality. Sometimes going to church won't be easy. Sometimes going to church won't be a coasting. It'll be you just stand up and say, look, I'm going to church. It's the right thing to do. Amen. Listen. Holy Spirit will detach you and free you from the effects of the circumstance. That's why Stephen could kneel down. He had the inspiration. Thirdly, write it down quickly. There's the insight for kneeling down. Verse 55 and 56. And he being full of the Holy Ghost, and this is the result of it. This is the enablement of that. Looked up steadfastly into heaven. That's the way the Holy Spirit wants you to look. What's the direction of your focus tonight? The Holy Spirit, when He's in charge, when the Holy Spirit, you're yielding to Him, He's having influence in your life, He's controlling you. Guess what? He's going to motivate your focus to go upward. Amen. How can you notice the stones if you're looking up and seeing Jesus? Amen. What insight, what observation that the Spirit of God enabled Stephen to have. The most unlikely circumstance. Brother Starling, the most unlikely situation. And right in the middle of it, Stephen is getting a glimpse of the most glorious, majestic Christ. The Holy Spirit of God can enable us. But now I wish I could say that I've applied that to my life in every storm. I don't know how many times and how much time I've spent wasting my time looking at the stones and the stoners. I can't believe he threw that. I can't believe she threw that. Man, look at all of these piling up around me. Spent all my time focusing on that. Yeah, rock collectors. And usually rock collectors are grudge holders. I'll get you. It may not be today, but I'll get you. Boy, that's spiritual, isn't it? The Bible said that he being full of the Holy Ghost, look up. I like this word, steadfastly. That means to gaze. You know what most people do when they go to church? They merely glance. Okay, that was good preaching, preacher. I'm back to looking at my rocks, my rock piles. I'm going to go home and count my rocks. I've got them all named and numbered. Yeah, I've got them cataloged. Huh? But this word steadfastly doesn't indicate a glance, but rather a gaze to look intently upon. Why would I want to spend my time looking at stones and stoners when I can be looking at the Savior? I'm talking about the insight for kneeling down. You know why a lot of times we don't kneel down is because of what we're focusing on, what we're looking at, who we're looking at. Are y'all listening? My boy got, thank y'all for praying, my boy got right with God Friday night. I believe he meant business. He testified after he got up out of the altar. He said all the other times I went to the altar, he said I'd only go so far. I thought, how many more in church are like that? He said, I'd only go so far. I'd only give God so much. I'd only say, God, here, you can have this. And Lord, I'll do this. And you can have that. But not this and this and this. And I'm telling Brother Uncle Joe, I know you prayed. Miss Nancy, I know y'all prayed. Down the aisle, Blake came on Friday night. And I mean, he was... God, the Holy Ghost was wearing him out, buddy. I mean, he just barely could pick his feet up of getting to that altar, weeping, and what God was wearing him out. And he got to the altar, and he couldn't even kneel down. He just kind of just sort of collapsed into the altar. And no, everybody gathered around him a praying, Brother Doug. And I said, you gave him the sign, don't bother him. He's hooked up in the throne room. He's calling on God. Hey, man, don't bother him. He probably laid in that altar for 30 minutes or longer praying and calling on God. And I heard him praying, Lord, you can have my truck. Lord, you can have my job. Lord, you can have everything. Amen. Hey, hey, you can get help from God if you'll take your hands off of your life. And he got up out of the altar, and I'd never heard this before, but he said, I had to surrender my image to the Lord. That's what's behind popularity, that image. That's what's behind the dress codes and the fashions and the immodesty and all of that is that image you're trying to project to people that's looking on. You're wanting to be noticed. And Blake said, I had to give God and surrender my image to the Lord. Am I? Hey, man, I feel like running, glory to God. Whoa! The natural man looks at the stones, but the new man looks at the Savior. Watch this, Brother Steve. Look in verse number 55. I got to hurry. Look at verse 55. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in heaven, and what did it say? And saw. Y'all see that word saw? And he saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Look at verse 56. And said, he saw in verse 55, and he's starting to talk in verse 56. You know why a lot of people are not saying nothing? They're not seeing nothing. You know why you have to pump and prime and pull and often to threaten and pay somebody to testify? They hadn't been seeing nothing. They hadn't been on their knees. They hadn't been in the closet. They hadn't been in the prayer room. They hadn't been in the Bible. Amen. Come on now. I want to tell you, you'll not get excited about what you don't see. Stephen was saying, I'm seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Watch this. Watch this, Brother Ellis. That crowd that was throwing the stones couldn't see what he was seeing. That's why he was saying what he was saying. He was letting them know, Brother Starling, I want you stoners to know, I just want you to know you're not killing me. You might be killing this flesh, which is enabling me to see Jesus. Well, there's some spiritual truth right there. It's just like a banana. You got to peel it before the inside can come out. Oh, yeah. Are y'all listening? Stephen, my friend, was being stoned. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, he was able to look and see the Lord, and he saw the Lord. They couldn't see him, so he was telling them, hey, let me just tell you boys what I'm seeing. I could see some of the stoners say, listen, he's fixing to tell us we're the winners. Everybody, wait a minute. Listen, Stephen's talking now. Let's hear what he's got to say. He's probably going to confess he's a defeated. He's probably going to confess that he's a failure. He's probably going to confess that we're the superior and that we're the winners. Let's listen to what he's got to say. And I see the heavens open. I see the heavens open and Jesus Christ and the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, mercy. Listen, what he was seeing was helping him, but what he was saying was for the stoners. Can you give a good testimony when you're being stoned? Well, that comes from inside. Can I give you this real quickly? Number four, I believe it is number four, the implication of kneeling down. What does it imply? Stephen kneeling down implies what? It implies devotion. It implies humility. It implies submission, subjection, determination, dependence, and a host of other things it suggests. A lot of people says, and I did preach it for years, that when he kneeled down, he was kneeling down to pray. He was praying before he kneeled down. Brother Chris, have you ever seen that? I'd never seen that before. The Bible says that, brother, listen, he was praying. He was praying, look at it, in verse number 59, and they stoned Stephen calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He's in 59. He's praying in 59. And he's kneeling in 60. He's not kneeling down to pray. He's praying before he kneeled down. You say, well, what do you think he's doing? I hope I can get this out, Brother Steve, without blowing a gasket. Amen. I'll tell you what. His eyes were still fixed upon the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was still at awe and with the awesomeness of Christ. And I believe that he was kneeling down in devotion and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he was letting the Lord know in that gesture, these stones has not changed my mind about you, Lord. My circumstances has not changed my mind about you, Lord. I'm bowing to your majesty. Knocked down is a sign of weakness, but to kneel down is worship. You say, can I worship in that situation? Are you kidding me? Jairus come to Jesus with his daughter even at the point of death. And you know what the Bible said? And he came worshiping him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. Now wait a minute. Jairus is worshiping with his daughter dead or dying at the point of death. What's our excuse? Well, preacher, I'm not worshiping because somebody's talking about me. I tell you right now, when I get over this little toe ache I've got, I'll worship. I want to tell you, friend, we have got such a shallow Christianity today. It's pathetic. It don't take nothing to offend people. Amen. You know what the Bible says? And I want it said to me tonight. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Stephen was being stoned, but he was kneeling down in worship and devotion and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's it going to take to change your mind about the Lord? I'm so sick of people supposedly getting saved, and then they fizzle out, and they flop out, and they don't even come back to church, or they might last 2 or 3 weeks. I'm so sick of that. Where's the church? Where's the believers that says, Lord, in spite of the stones, in spite of the hurts, in spite of the hardships, Lord, I bow, even though the pain's there, even though the hurts are there, even though the negative is there, Lord, I bow again, fresh and anew, to your majesty. I bow as a loyal subject to you. He wasn't being knocked down. He was kneeling down. That was on purpose, Brother Brad. Oh, yeah. Did you know that it's difficult to fall when you're on your knees? It's difficult to flee when you're on your knees? It's difficult to fight back when you're on your knees? It's more difficult to fail when you're on your knees. My soul. It implies, the implication is of submission. It implies steadfastness. It implies, did you know when you kneel down, it makes your image smaller? When you're standing up, you're an easy target. When you're standing up, you're the one that looks big. But Stephen, looking at the Lord, who was standing. Lord, ain't no need for both of us standing. Lord, when you stand up, I'm going to kneel. Glory! Lord, you're standing, I'm kneeling, I'm bowing before you. Amen. Hallelujah. That helped me right there. When you're bowed, and listen, you bow down, your image becomes smaller, makes you a smaller target to hit too. Amen. I like this. I'm going to be done here shortly. Listen to this. It implies superiority. I'm talking about the implications. It implies superiority. What are you talking about? It implied there that the superiority of the heavenly over the earthly. It showed the superiority of the spiritual over the physical. It showed the superiority of the celestial over the circumstantial. It showed the divine was greater than the difficulty. It showed the Savior was greater than the stones and the stoners. Superiority. When Stephen bowed, even in the middle of all of that, he bowed to the Lord, was showing Christ, you are superior. Did you know this? Listen, Lord, help me right here. Did you know you're probably going to bow to something when you go through a storm? You're probably going to bow to something. You're probably going. Hey, do you know that's what defeat is? You've bowed to the wrong image. You know that's what. Listen, that's when people lose. You get all sad and down in the dumps, and that's not found in the Holy Spirit, Brother Jarvis. There's no deadness in the Spirit, is there? He's called the Spirit of Life. Is there deadness in the Spirit? Then when we start getting dead, that is because something or someone else has come into focus that has blurred and blocked out Jesus Christ. The sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. I don't have a penny. You got a penny? No, you broke too. I never seen such broke preachers in my life. You got one, Brother John? Broke? Good. You got one, Brother Stephen? Lord help. Brother Starling? Does any preachers in here have any money? Thank God. I would have known a missionary to have something. That's the reason you got some. The pastors don't have any. But the sun is 93 million miles away. No comparison in size, Miss Nancy, to that penny. But if I let that penny get close enough to my focus, as small as that penny is, can block out the bigness of the sun. Nothing you'll go through will ever be comparable to Jesus Christ. But if you let it get close enough to you to where all you think about, it's all you talk about, it's all you ever... Listen, you go to bed thinking about it, talking about it, and you get up, it's all you talk about. Nobody can even talk to you about even just the weather without you bringing up your stones and your problems and your issues. You can't even think about nothing else because you've let it get so close to you. You've let it get so big to you. But the opposite's true, Brother Starling. I can let that thing start getting distant from me. Lord, I don't want that control in my life no more. I'm tired of looking at it. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of focusing on it and let it get further away from me. All of a sudden, I can't even see it. It pales away into insignificance, into the brightness of the sun. Or even better than that, cast it behind your back. Let it be gone. Put it away from your vision. Give it to God. Let vengeance belong to Him. If there's a wrongdoing, let Him correct it. You stay focused on the will of God. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him help you tonight. The superiority. Oh Lord, help me, Jesus. Number, whatever number this is, the intercession of kneeling down. He was praying before he knelt down, but I believe he continued to do so because of what it says. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Intercession. You know why a lot of people won't kneel down to the Lord? You got to forgive somebody. Oh, mercy, preacher. You're going to preach all night and not deal with that. He's exhibiting here the very Christ-like spirit of Christ Himself on the cross who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here is Stephen bowing down, kneeling down. Listen, if you'll kneel down to the Lordship of Christ and to His majesty, I'll tell you, God can enable you and work in your heart a forgiveness, amen, toward those that have wronged you. Our churches are crippled spiritually by people holding grudges and unforgiveness and ill will. They can't stand each other. Had a lady tell me one time, and there were two families at odds, and I told her, I said, you forgiving them is not letting them off the hook. That's why a lot of people, Brother Brown, won't forgive people, as they think, well, I'm letting them get, they're getting by with it. Do you not believe that the Bible said that the vengeance belonged to the Lord? He'll repay. You think He's going to let wrong get by in your life or theirs? I said, ma'am, let me tell you what forgiveness will do. Forgiveness will set you free. Forgiveness will set you free. And we've all been hurt. I guarantee there's not a person in here that has not been hurt, that has not been disappointed, amen, by somebody. And a lot of times it comes from unexpected sources, people that you never thought would, will. And I want to tell you, I want everybody to listen close. You might even have to forgive the Lord. Not that He wronged you, it's just that you think He has. You said, preacher, you're preaching of that in the Independent Premillennial Fundamental Baptist Church? King James? I'm telling you, you can get so crossed up with God that you will start blaming God. Listen, we know the Bible said that the devil's accuser of the brethren. But I want to tell you what else I believe that is. I believe the devil can also accuse God to you. Yeah, if God really loved you, He wouldn't let that happen. You're going through this. They're not going through this. You're going through this. God really don't love you. I know what I'm talking about, Uncle Joe. When mom and dad died back-to-back years, the devil crawled up on my shoulder. And I'm talking about I'm standing in the pulpit three times a week, and a lot of times more than that, preaching revivals, Brother Craig. And the devil crawled up on my shoulder and started accusing God to me. Your mom and dad was godly, wasn't they? Look at all these others over here. It's got moms and dads. It's wicked, drunks, dope heads. They're still alive. They're doing well. Your mom's gone. Your dad's gone. Your family life, as you've known it all, you're being raised up in your life. He said, your family life, it's gone. And I started seeing my joy leave. I started seeing... Oh, the devil was making a play for my ministry. I noticed that I was missing something in the pulpit. When I'd get up to preach, oh, I'd go through the mechanics. I knew how to elevate my voice and, you know, go through the mannerisms of preaching. And a lot of people probably wouldn't even know the difference. You know, as far as they know, if you sound like you're preaching, you act like you're preaching, you look like you're preaching, got to outline a point or two, they think you're preaching. But I knew when I'd get in that pulpit, my soul, something was empty. Birds wasn't singing in my soul. And I didn't understand. I didn't understand why mom and dad was gone back to back years like that. I didn't understand. And I kept waiting on an explanation. And God said to me one day, He said, the Bible says, four times the just shall live by faith, not by explanations. Do I still know? Do I know now why mom and dad gone? Nope, don't know no more now than I did, other than I'm going to meet them again. I knew that all the whole time. But here's what I done, Brother Starling. I knew I wasn't going to make it, Brother Robbie. I knew I wasn't going to make it. I knew I was, my spiritual life was doing this number. I knew it. And finally, I crawled in my prayer closet. And I said, God, I don't know why you took mom and dad. I don't know why this is happening, that happened. But I choose right now to trust you that you did right. And I want to tell you, and I meant it, Uncle Joe. And I'm telling you, the birds started singing in my soul. I got peace back in my heart. I don't know why God did it, and He don't owe me an explanation. And when I get to heaven, He still don't have to tell me nothing. I know He's done right. Glory to God. Amen. Some of you may be crossed up with God. Why is this happening? Why does God take this out? And why does He not allow this? And why does He stop that? You need to just surrender all of that to the Lord, just as I had to. So, Lord, I don't understand. And people that's wronged you. Man, it hurt me probably as bad in my church. I led him to the Lord, baptized him, discipled him, saw him grow in the Lord. Hold a position in the church and everything. He hurt me probably worse than anybody's ever hurt me. Those you invest the most time in sometimes will be the one who hurt you the worst. hurt me. I mean, hurt me bad. He left the church, and a few years went by, and I got a call. I was preaching revival district, pretty good ways off. And he said, "Preacher, Daddy died." And he said, "I want you to preach a funeral." You know what my flesh wanted to say? No. I wanted to. I was about 8 hours drive away in the middle of a revival. I wanted to say no. But I said, "Yes, sir, I'll be there. If it's at all possible, I'll be there. And I'll do my best to preach your daddy's funeral. I'll do my best." I stood at that graveside, preached that graveside. That man that hurt me so fell on my neck and wept like a baby. Whispered in my ears, "Preacher, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, preacher." And I was, Brother Stephen, I was able to say honestly in my heart, I said, "Brother, I forgave you a long time ago." Leave it with God. Leave it with God, whatever it is. Get it off of you. Do you think God was kidding when He said, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you"? Do you think He was kidding? He was telling you to get that off of you. I don't know all about how to do that, but I know the Lord can help us. The intercession, and then the last thing, and I am done. There is the influence of kneeling down. Guess who was standing close by as a young boy? A young man by the name of Saul. Didn't throw a rock, but he held the coats of those that did. And he watched all of this that was going on. What was he watching? Hello? What was he watching, church? He was watching this right here. He was watching that kneeling down. And I could see Saul, it didn't say. Saul probably said, "Boy, I've seen a many of them knocked down. But I've never seen one kneel down." Stephen's got the goods. There's something about this boy. There's something about this one right here. He didn't quit when it would have been easy. He didn't fall over when it would have been a natural thing, a normal thing to do. He kneeled down. Oh, yeah. And I believe this with all of my heart, that Stephen was the great influence to Saul of Tarsus getting saved in chapter 9. Somebody's watching your life when you're, listen, being stoned, when the things of life have turned upside down and the bottom's falling apart. There may be a Saul watching you. There may be a young boy watching you, a young lady, a neighbor, a work associate, a mom, a dad, a church member. Somebody's watching your life to see if you're going to knock down or kneel down. We give credit. I'm right now done. Let's go ahead and get on the piano. But can I say this? We give credit to Paul, the apostle, bringing the gospel to the Gentile world, do we not? Everybody with me, church? Saul of Tarsus got saved. Paul brought the gospel to the Gentile world. And you say, "Praise God. Preacher, when I get to heaven, I'm going to thank the Lord. I'm going to thank the Lord for Paul bringing the gospel to the Gentile world." But if there hadn't have been a Stephen who knelt down instead of knocked down, may I not have ever been a Saul. Brother, let me show you how big this is, brother. There's people today right here in this building that are the beneficiaries of one man in a storm of stones had the spirituality enough to kneel down instead of being knocked down. If he'd have knocked down Brother Joe, they'd all went away and said, "Hey!" And it had been in the papers, it had been in the periodicals, it had been announced all over town. "Stephen, just another one, bit the dust." But it was reported, Stephen never did knock down. I believe he died nailed down. I believe when he even died, I don't believe he fell over. I don't believe he fell over even when he died. God wasn't going to let him fall over after his death when he wouldn't fall over before his death. Oh, no. No, friend, I guarantee you, God, listen, let him die right there in that nail position. Amen. Oh, we don't know how far-reaching of an effect it's going to have if you stay with the stuff and you don't quit. Listen, Brother Robert, I guarantee it. I'm so burdened to preach this message. I guarantee there's people in this building. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe ten. I don't know. You've been thinking, and maybe come this meeting, if I don't get some help. If I don't get some help, I'm done. Because you're focusing on the flesh, you're focusing on the hurts, you're focusing on the stones piling up, you're focusing on all the enemies, the opposition, the conflict, you're focusing on all that. But I want the Spirit of God. You need to maybe get in the altar and say, Lord, I need the Spirit of God to help me elevate my focus. Elevate my focus. He's the lifter up of my head. Brother Buddy, you know what that means? Bow your head there. That's how we are most times. We're all bowed down, looking at the ground, looking at everything around us. He's the lifter up our head. You know what that means, Brother Steve? He gently puts his hand up under your chin and raises that head. You know what he's doing? He's telling you to look higher. Look under the hills from whence cometh our help. Stephen looked up and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I don't know what you're going through, ma'am. I don't know what you're going through, sir. I don't know what you're going through, young lady or young man. I don't know. Maybe nobody knows. It's all private to you. Your hurts is inside. Nobody knows. Nobody understands. And it's about to kill you. It's about to take you down. You need to focus on your spiritual life because that is your survival. That is your survival. Don't die dead. Don't die dead. Don't leave this world with a testimony, well, they used to serve God years ago. Don't die dead. Don't die distant. Don't die of the will of God. Finish your course with joy. Amen, folks. We're about home. We're on the last leg, Brother Pettit. We're on the last leg of the journey. We're about to go to the big house. The big family's about to go to the big house. And we're going to have a big time forever. Amen. Listen, it's not a time to throw in the towel. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to give in and to give up and be full of bitterness and unforgiveness and ill will. Give God your troubles. Amen. And focus on Jesus in your spiritual life. And God will use you. Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, you'll take, Lord, our feeble effort, try to preach the message tonight, Lord, that you laid upon our heart. Lord, there's people here tonight that's going through the hardest times of their life. Some have the hardest difficult years they've had. I know the last few months has been extremely difficult in my own life. Lord, I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. Lord, there's people in here, Lord, that's going through physical problems. People going through financial problems. People going through social problems, domestic problems. All kinds of issues. And Lord, they're either going to bow to the Savior or they're going to bow to the stones. They're going to bow to the enemy. They're going to bow to the images of life. They're going to bow to the defeating influences of life and live the rest of their days without joy and power and victory. Lord, there may be some in this building tonight that needs to go to someone and say, look, I've been harboring ill will and unforgiveness towards you, but I want this to be done right here. I want it to bury the hatchet. It's over with. We're giving this thing to God. I want you to forgive me. I need freedom. I need to get over. I need to get past. I need to go on with my life. I need my light to shine. I need my life to count for the glory of God. Oh, Father, I pray your will to be done. Help people to get honest with you, Lord. Help people to get honest with you, Jesus. Lord, there may be a pastor here today, a pastor's wife, Lord, that's carrying an unbearable load. carrying an unbearable burden in their heart. They're being stoned. They're being talked about. They're being lied on. They're being ridiculed. And dear Father, they can't handle it. They're thinking about starting to pick up the stones and throw it back. But God, we don't find anywhere where Stephen threw one stone back at the stoners, but rather kneeled into the majesty of the Lord Jesus. Father, have your way, Lord. Help that young lady to bring her issues and her problems and her situation to you. God, I can't fix it, but you can. Lord, I'm not bigger than the stones and I'm not bigger than the stoners, but dear God, you are. Help me tonight, I pray. Help these that are in the altar. Lord, there's some folk in this building tonight. They're starting to resort to flesh. They're starting to resort to other things, carnal things, to try to cope with the stones and the heartaches and the adversity and disappointments of life. But that's not where their help's going to come. Their help's going to come, Lord, when they focus their attention on the risen Savior, the exalted Christ, the enthroned Lord of glory, and be filled with the Spirit of God. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. These are in the altar praying. I don't know what you need, but get you some help today. Don't die defeated tonight. Don't live the rest of your days defeated. Get back where God can use you. Trust Him. Trust Him with your situation, your circumstance. And let God infuse in you spiritual strength through the Spirit of God. That will enable you to kneel instead of to bow down to the stoners. Be not defeated. Let's all stand to our feet. Preacher wants me to just carry on the invitation. The Lord knows where you're at, friend. The Lord knows in detail where you're at. I mean, I know preachers, God's men, that are so bruised, battered, beat up, beat down. I know it's sad. It really is, church. You need to pray for your preachers, these preachers. Pray for us preachers. It's hard to find a man of God that's got any joy about him anymore. Am I right, Brother Kerrigan? I'm talking about preachers been in the fight a long time. They're so beat up, beat down. They just go to the pulpit and go through the mechanics. They just kind of go through the routine. I don't want to get there. I don't want to get there. I know I can. And I know I have. I have went in the pulpit defeated many times. Consumed with the stoners. That's all I thought about. When I'd open the pages of God's Word, I was looking for something I could get them with. Yeah, that'll get them. God, that's got to be your will right there. Yeah, amen. Eye for an eye. I'll use that Sunday morning. And get in the pulpit and beat and browbeat and sling rocks. You know what happens when you do that? You stoop to their level. Had Stephen reached over and grabbed a stone and said, "How dare you?" You know what it would have made him? Just like them. I don't want God to have to deal with me over throwing stones. I want God to be able to give us a reward at the judgment seat over being faithful even to death. Let God help you. I don't know what you need. Amen. I don't know what you need. But I know God sent that message. So burdened in my heart to preach that message. When I just looked across the congregation, all I saw was people with potential issues and problems and difficulties and hardships going on in your life. If you don't remember nothing else, remember this. Your spirituality is your survival. The only restraint to the flesh is the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh against the spirit. If you let your spiritual man get weak, if you let your spiritual life and spiritual level go down, you have nothing to oppose the flesh with, and you're going to go out in a disgrace. God help us. Preacher, come on.